Hi, this is Danny, and I just want to give you a quick note here. Today's episode is about partnering up. As a spoiler, I'm not going to give you the answer should you partner with someone or not. I just want to open your mind to different options and scenarios when deciding to partner up. Towards the end, I will give you my suggestion how you should consider investing with a partner in rental properties and why I think it's actually, if done correctly, a really good idea. Enjoy the episode. Okay, very good. One second here. All right. Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Danny from California. We're doing this almost every Friday. I did skip a few due to travels the past 2 weeks, I believe. But we're trying to do it every Friday morning, Pacific time, California time, to do this session with a very, very, very clear purpose, engaging with you. Okay, Shabbat Shalom for everyone. I know we have people here from the West Coast, from the East Coast or Central, I'm not sure, probably from Europe as well. So I appreciate you joining me on a Friday morning, afternoon, evening, etc. And this session is to, with a clear purpose, to educate, to cross-collaborate, cross-pollinate information about real estate investing. So by all means, feel free to contribute by asking questions, and if you even sometimes have a topic that that have in mind that you would like me to discuss, I'll be happy to do that as well. You can participate live like we are right now or the recording. I will say this, it did happen in the past that someone asked a question during the session, and that whole question pivoted into a whole another session because it was a kind of comprehensive answer. And also, what I have learned that I think more people are listening to these sessions offline or not live, such as on the podcast and on the Facebook Live with the recording or on our YouTube Live. So just so you know, this is going on three channels. We got recording on the the podcast here. By the way, we have two podcasts, one in English and one in Hebrew. So if you want the links for those, let me know. We'll be happy to share it with you. It goes on Facebook and it goes on YouTube. So you can always consume the information, the great information provided on any format you like. Perfect. Today's topic is about partnerships. Partnerships with when it comes to investing. And before we kind of dive into it, I'm not going to give you, maybe a spoiler. You're not going to get an answer as to yes or no for partnerships. I just want to kind of give you some thoughts and ideas and maybe some kind of pointers when you're thinking about partnerships. And I will tell you how I see partnerships, maybe in my opinion, the best way to do partnerships, again, in my opinion. So first of all, we have to really define what kind of partnerships we're talking about. So let's assume you want to partner with someone to buy rental properties. Okay, that's what I have in mind for this conversation. Now, one type of partnerships can be with two people. I'm not saying friends, family, stranger, just in a second. We'll get to that in a second. Two people, one has money, one has knowledge, okay? So there is a good match here, okay? There could be a partnership of two people that one wants to be active and one wants to be passive, okay? And regardless the monetary contribution of each. So that can be another type of partnership. And of course, naturally, we always have partnerships that are, probably can debate with friends and family or strangers. I will tell you this, just this morning I had a conversation with a new investor, and the first thing he brought up is, before even talking about investing, is he said that one of his best friends for many years is a real estate developer. And we had a lengthy discussion about should he partner with his friend for so many years about, you know, with investing. And obviously the pros and cons for that was, on one hand, he trusts him. He knows what he's been doing. It's a multi-decade friendship on one end. On the other end, you know, we all have the hesitation to mix friends, family, money, and business together. I will tell you that in my personal values, over the years, I decided that I don't want to invest with family, and I don't want to invest with close friends. The reason is, this is always things that could happen beyond my control, and that always leaves a little bit of a bad taste. And you meet those people throughout life, and it's just not, you know, I think that for me, that's something I don't like to be in the back of my mind, but that's a personal preference. I've done it a few times, and I decided I don't want to do it anymore. It's just not my cup of tea, so to speak. Now, so a couple of things about partnerships. Let's dive into. So we talk about different types, right? Active, passive, marriage between experience and money, friends, family, and strangers, okay? Each one of those, you know, should be addressed differently in terms of doing it or not, right? And we have to find the common grounds. Now, let's talk about a couple of the things that I consider the benefits of partnering up. So naturally, if we're partnering with someone, we can, you know, most likely bring less money to the table as needed for the transaction. Not only that, I always thought that we also, by bringing less money, we are in a way lowering the risk. So that's definitely a possibility. We will probably hold each other, you know, accountable. So for example, we stay on track, we brainstorm, we cross collaborate. All of those things are really good for a partnership, you know, to work together. We're kind of watching over, we have mutual interests, and we're watching each other's back and making sure we don't miss any, points. So that's also something very beneficial. And also, when you work with a partner, we can actually divide and conquer different tasks. For example, let's say I'm very good with working with property managers, but I'm not very good with analyzing, and my partner friend is. So that's actually complementary to each other. It's not always the case, but it's definitely a benefit, you know, that we will be able to divide and conquer between us. Okay, so those are typically some of the benefits. Now let's talk about some of the disadvantages. Okay, so a couple of things you want to know. If you are let me put a side note. When I got started, my first rental property that I purchased in 2002, the only way for me to move forward financially was to bring in a partner. So my first transaction I did with a partner. And the reason, I just didn't have enough money. So it was a point where it was a go, no go. If I don't bring a partner, I won't be able to do the deal. If I bring a partner, I'll be able to do a deal and move forward. So for me, it was that type of a situation that I brought a partner for my first transaction because I wanted to, we both wanted, and you know, it's both something that benefited us, because I think each one of us would have not done it, you know, individually or separately just by ourselves. So it was a good meet. It was one of my, it's a family member, but we're also very good and close friends. So it was easy for us to work together on that aspect. So that's just something I wanna share, because I have done it myself, actually in my first transaction altogether. Now, some of the disadvantages are, I don't know if you're aware of that, but if you decide to buy a rental property together, and let's say you're planning to do it with a mortgage in the US, let's say that's the plan is, and both of you want to be on title, okay, because you're both partners, the one of you that has the lower qualification parameters by the bank will dictate the terms of the loan. Let me explain that. Let's say you have perfect credit score and debt to income ratio and everything is good, and you'll get very good terms if you just go by yourself. But your partner friend only has, let's say 700, 580 credit score. I'm just making it up, right? So that means he will not get as much as favorable terms, mortgage terms, as you will. So right now, the one with the not good, you know, financial standing will dictate the terms for the one with the better ones. So that's something to think about. You can definitely go around it by saying, I will just qualify for the loan, but it will be both of our property owned by both of us, but I'm going to be the one who's officially on the record and will take the title and the mortgage, and we are partnering. And by the way, you can do that, and you can also file your tax returns reflecting the partnership, not the how you hold it, but reflecting the partnership. I don't want to dive into it because I'm not a tax person, so you will talk to your tax expert about it, but it's doable. So separate between tax reporting and ownership, right? You can do that. If you're buying it together, once again, with a mortgage, one will dictate the terms to the other, right? The worst will dictate to the other, something to think about. If you're buying cash, that's not something to be concerned about. Second, disadvantage. What will happen, not if, but when disputes or disagreement will arise, okay? It will. Not necessarily big ones, but what will happen, right? And that leads me to, why would that happen? Because we're going to have a personality clashes, or small clashes. Maybe clashes is a harsh word. Maybe different goals in life, or goal or financial goals in general, or goals for this transaction, right? So that's also something you want to kind of be aware of, because clashes will happen, or disagreements. Let's just say not use clashes. Also, many times what could happen, and did happen, is that two partners came together. And the two partners came together and did a transaction together, and they were on the same page. But all of a sudden, those partners now have spouses. So there are two more silent or background, or hovering, or whatever you want to call it, partners. And all of a sudden, the spouses are also involved in one way or another, directly or indirectly with the transaction. And all of a sudden, there are additional forces working on the transaction and pulling it not necessarily in a coherent direction. So even if the two partners get along, maybe just by including spouses will create additional forces that are not going to be on the same page. So once again, you have to think about it if you want to be in that situation. Now, I do think that if you're doing a short-term transaction, such as a flip or something, for to hold maybe 1 or 2 years, it may be more fitting to have a partnership. But if you're looking to do a long-term transaction, multiple years, right? A year and more, 2 years and more, maybe rethink about the whole concept of doing it with a partnership, okay? Because the longer we are in a relationship, the more situation will present themselves, and possibly more friction will happen. And also, not friction, maybe you're not necessarily on the same page financially over the years, or goals, etc. So you wanna kind of think about it. Now, I have a little bit of a solution or a suggestion, not a solution, but a suggestion. Because I work with a lot of investors, and every once in a while, people come up to me as a team, two people, typically two, partners, friends, and they say, we want to invest together. And I run through what we talked about with them and explain to them, and all of a sudden you see that only by using an external person who comes in with fresh eyes, doesn't have to be me, but someone with fresh eyes, kind of is able sometimes to say things that are up in the air, but nobody discussed, nobody's having a discussion about them. And I make sure that those guys bring those things up. And here's my suggestion. My number one suggestion, which I think is the best one from what I've seen over the year, is this. Find a partner. I call it the co-founder of your virtual business. Find that person. Walk the path with that person. Do everything together except one thing. Don't buy together. So meet weekly, meet every other week, have discussion, analyze properties together, go on a conference call with me, like if you're my client, to discuss something together. cross collaborate, cross, you know, pollinate each other, it will be super beneficial for you, right? When I see people that are coming together as partners for the journey, but not the specific holding, and they will buy in the same area and in the same metro and will do everything together, except when it comes time to split for each one owning his own, you know, property. This is, in my opinion, perfect, because you have that someone have, you're having someone's back. That person is having your back. I love it. It's great. It's beneficial. By the way, if you decide to do that, find one partner, not two. Don't make it a threesome. Only two people. Three will make it too much noise. Two, perfect. So if you have that person, that's perfect. Great. But if you don't, and you still want to be in that, you know, situation, you know, try to find that person, but I think don't buy together. That's just my humble opinion. You know, obviously, you can do whatever you want, no doubt about it. In case you decide to do a partnership and buy together, my suggestion for you is the following. Once you decide you want to do it together, talk about it. Start running through scenarios. What if, for example, what if we need more money? Okay, we bring more money. What if one of us doesn't have more money, okay, to bring to the table? What do we do then? Okay, one has, one hasn't. Okay, I know there's solutions here, but let's discuss them. What if someone needs to sell and the other one doesn't want to because something in one's life is different than the others? What if you don't really get along anymore in 5 years? Who's going to help you resolve disputes? You can always go to a discussion, you know, that, you know, the court, but maybe just say, instead of using, you know, arbitration or all of those things, you say, you know what, let's agree on someone now, or two people, number one and number two, that in case we have a dispute, big or small, we'll go to this person and we'll have their opinion. Just an idea. What happens, I don't know, if we need to do a, you know, minor or big renovation? And start bringing those questions. Now, you're not going to solve every problem, right? Don't even try. But just by going through 5, 10, 15, 20 different scenarios, possibilities, running them through. And by the way, you don't need an attorney to do that. You just need to discuss. And then you say, let's do a summary. By the way, you know, of course, you can always go to an attorney and do that. But an attorney will run it with you as well and do it more formal. But if you just want to keep it simple and, you know, and you want to kind of keep it between you, you go to the, you sit down and say, okay, now we have a business discussion. We're not having an investment discussion. We have a relationship discussion. What happens if, and then you answer what you decide. What happens if, another question, and you answer whatever the question, whatever the answer. And maybe it's a simple answer, maybe it's a complicated answer. And you go through those scenarios and you come to an agreement on multiple items. That will not solve every possibility, but it will solve the it will create the spirit of your agreement. And you, and my suggestion is, that's what I tell to people who come and I work with, and I say, listen, talk about it, write it, sign it. Okay, for me, the signature says, here is the document we agreed on. Okay, and have copies. This way, you brought up the issues that could go wrong and you discussed them in advance and you created an answer to multiple solutions that will create the spirit. By the way, at that point, you may discover that you are not on the same page in multiple, you know, in multiple items, right? Let's say if you one wants to sell and one other, you can't get an agreement. And if we need more money and you can't get an agreement on how to solve those problems, that should be a huge red flag not to continue with the relationship of a partnership. Okay? So keep that in mind. So my suggestion to summarize everything, I'm not against partnerships. I think a partnership when someone has money and someone has, you know, experience is a good match. Right? I think a partnership, someone wants to be passive, one of active, it's a good match. And I would still do those discussions. But if you can walk the path, the steps, the journey, together, analyzing, reviewing, discussing, having, you know, questions, etc., maybe traveling, seeing, checking, reviewing everything together, but each is buying their own property. Yeah, I think it's an excellent, excellent way to go. You are, for me, having that partner is a serious ingredient for success. So keep that in mind. So that is everything I wanted to say today. Next what I'll do is I'll take some questions if you have. So please put your questions, post your questions in the comment. You can ask something regarding today's topic. You can ask about something that is related to real estate. And I will only take questions that are outside of today's topic, which is only about, outside of the real estate topic, only about the weather in Southern California, because I don't think I can talk to any other weather at the moment. While you're putting your questions, if you are, I want to thank you for joining. I want to thank you for, participating and listening. And I want to say that if there is a topic that's bugging you, or something you want me to discuss, I'll be happy to consider it, right? Feel free to send it to me however you see fit. Here, email, or whatever you want, that's fine. I'll be happy to. What I try to do is to bring to those, live sessions weekly, things that I've encountered over the week as questions, discussions with other investors. So by all means, I'm actually harvesting for ideas for my daily encounters and engagements with investors. I don't have anything else to add at the moment. And if there are no questions coming in, what I will say is this. First of all, thank you. And I want to wish you happy Friday and have a great weekend. And I will see you again, next week. If you want to meet with us and talk to us about real estate investing, let me know. We do sessions every day, every day with investors who are starting, investors who have some experience but are stuck, not sure what to do next, someone who just want to kind of see if there's a good fit between what we are doing and what you're trying to accomplish. Our first session, we call it a strategy session. It's an introduction. No strings attached, no sales pitch, nothing like that. Let's just see if there is even a fit between what we are doing and what you're trying to accomplish. So just get in touch with us and let us know. We'll be happy to set up a intimate time. We can do it on Skype or Zoom, phone, face-to-face, however you see fit. We do it every week. Very good. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining me for another session. We'll see you in a week, the next week session. And okay, thank you. I'll take that into consideration. And with that said, I will just say, have a great weekend, have a great rest of your day, and Shabbat Shalom. Bye bye, everyone.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.